going to be reading Penny Dreadful is a record breaker. 3 stories in one book. But we're going to be reading 3 stories in one book. Penny Dreadful is a record breaker by Joanna Naden. Illustrated by Jess Mahi-Kahel. Contents. Penny Dreadful versus the Vampire, page 7. Penny Dreadful looks on the bright side, page 57. Penny Dreadful and the World Record, page 97. Meet Penny Dreadful and her resigned relations. Penny is never really her fault. Cosmo, Penny's best friend. Georgia May Morton Jones, Penny's genius cousin. Daisy, annoying sister. Penny's long-suffering mom and dad. Aunt Dee Dee, very prim and proper. Barry, meow, I'm Gran's cat. Gran, normally found fast asleep somewhere. Her crazy classmates and sick and tired teachers. Bridget Grimes, star student. Mr. Schulkholmen, sick and tired, principal. Henry Potts, Cosmo's mortal enemy. Sandwich fan, Alexander Pringle. Miss Patterson, Penny's tall and thin like a beanpole teacher. Shaves his head every week. Brandy O'Grandy. Bridget's best friend forever. Cherry Scarpelli. Puts things up his nose. Luke Bruce. Penny Dreadful versus the Vampire. Chapter 1. Or book 1. My name is not actually Penny Dreadful. It is Penelope Jones. The dreadful part is my dad's joke. I know it is a joke because every time he says it, he laughs like a honking goose. But I do not see the funny side. Plus, it is not even true that I am dreadful. It's like Gran says, that I am a magnet for disaster. Mom says if Gran kept a better eye on me in the first place instead of on no-nonsense nanny at 2 p.m. on live TV, then I might not be quite so magnetic. But Gran says if Mom wasn't so busy answering phones for Dr. Cement, who is her boss and who has bulgy eyes like hard-boiled eggs, which is why everyone calls him Dr. Bug-Eye. And Dad wasn't so busy solving crisis at the city council. Then they would be able to solve some crisis at 73 Rollins Road, our house. So, you see, it is completely not my fault. For example, it is not my fault that Bentley Bucket is soaked to the skin and smelling like garlic. If it is anyone's fault, it's his. No, oh wait, sorry. If it's anyone's fault, it is Miss Patterson's, who is our teacher and who is tall and thin like a beanpole for telling me to stop trying to bounce a pencil sharpener on my nose and to start thinking about how long it will take a mouse to run around a table, or I will grow up to be a complete clown. B. Cosmo Moon Webster's, who is my best friend, even though he is a week older than me, and a boy for saying he does not want to be a clown when he grows up. He wants to be a vampire hunter. Aunt Dee Dee's. 3. Aunt Dee Dee's. For not making it completely clear that Bentley Bucket is not even part vampire. What happens is that we are in math and we are all supposed to be concentrating on how big is the table. How big is the table? If it takes a mouse 10 seconds to run around the table, how big is a table if it takes a mouse to run around the edge? But Henry Potts, who is Cosmo's mortal enemy, is saying a mouse should not be on a table because of the germs. Because he is very into what has germs on it and what doesn't. And Cosmo is saying Henry Potts should not even be near a table because of his germs, which are worse than a mouse's. And I'm saying, look, I am balancing a pencil sharpener on my nose and it has been there for 5 whole seconds. Isn't it amazing? And Henry Potts says, isn't. And Cosmo says, is. And then Henry Potts throws an eraser at Cosmo, only it hits my pencil sharpener and knocks it off my nose, which I say is a tragedy. But Miss Patterson says it is not. It is what you get if you mess around with pencil sharpeners on noses. And if I do not concentrate on the mouse, I will end up as a clown instead of a say. A teacher, or a doctor, or a nurse. Only I say I do want to be a clown, or a teacher, or a doctor, or a nurse. I want to be the fastest roller skater in the world, because I am very into roller skating fast. Even though Dad says it is a miracle, I have not broken my legs, and Mom says it is only a matter of time, and then almost immediately everyone is going crazy with what they want to be when they grow up. A. Alexander Pringle, who wears age 14 clothes even though he is 9. He says he wants to become world champion for eating the most sandwiches in 10 minutes. Brady O'Grady says he wants to be Wayne Plain, number one score soccer star. Cosmo Moon Webster says he wants to be Minimus Mayhem, leader of the Hero Bots. Henry Potts says he wants to be an evil zookeeper who will invent a half-monkey and half-crocodile beast to rule all beasts and kill Minimus Mayhem. Only then, Cosmo says he will invent an evil werewolf, which is half-man, half-dog, who will battle the half-monkey and half-crocodile to death. So Henry says he will invent a were-mosquito that will suck the blood of the werewolf until the death. And Cosmo says he will hunt down a were-giraffe who will stomp on Were Mosquito until the death. And in fact, the only person who wants to be a teacher or a doctor or a nurse is Bridget Grooms, who is the star student in our class. And who says the answer is 78 inches as long as a mouse does not do anything swerving. Only by then, no one knows what she is talking about. Not even Miss Patterson, who says she wishes she had been a nurse when she grew up. And also that it is time for climbing ropes in P.E. So to stop thinking about evil beasts and start thinking about putting our shorts on without any more shenanigans. Only Cosmo cannot stop thinking about evil beasts. And the next day on the way home from school, he says he is going to be Minimus Mayhem, leader of Herobots. After all, he says he's going to be a vampire hunter because he has a book from the library and it tells you everything you need, which is A. A notebook for writing down anything strange. 2. A camera for photographing anything strange. C. Garlic to scare the vampires with. 4. A wooden stake to stab through the hearts of the vampires with. And E. A hat because it makes you look important. And I decide I would like to be a vampire hunter when I grow up too, because I am into hats and garlic and looking very important is when I have my brilliant idea, which is to hunt down a vampire and then we can take it into school for show and tell, and it will be the best show and tell ever. Even better than the time Bridget Grimms brought the piece of moon glass in a glass box. And then Miss Patterson will not think I'm a clown at all. And Cosmo agrees. And so we go back to his house to get the notebook and the garlic and the camera and the hats, which are actually a cushion cover and a policeman's hat, and the wooden stake, which is actually a chopstick from Jade Palace Takeout, and also some cookies, which are not in the book, but I'm feeling hungry, and so is Cosmo, and we agree if our tummies rumble, then they will scare the vampires away. And then we go to the graveyard because vampires are always in graveyards or just down factories or haunted mansions. And we do not have to shut down a factory or a haunted mansion so it is the graveyard or nothing. And so we are sitting on the wall eating our cookies and waiting for vampires to show up. R.I.P. Heart, Norris Lunt, R.I.P. And so far, we have photographed and noted a little of strange things. A dog with a fan-shaped collar, which Cosmo says it is because ghost dog from olden days, only Shaku Reynolds from the salon say it is because he has a sore ear and it is not allowed to scratch it. B. Barry, who is Grant's cat and who is usually on a sofa watching horse racing, not in graveyards, who is normally watching horse racing, not in graveyards. Cosmo says it is because he is actually secretly a werecat and could battle us to death any minute. But I say it is because Gran is in the bakery next door, and he is waiting for an eclair, though. Even though Mom says it is cat food and cat food only. 3. Miss Butterworth, who works in the post office, says, and who has a mustache and beady eye, and who says, "What are you doing lurking in the graveyard with a cushion on your head, Penelope Jones?" And Cosmo says, "We are hunting evil beasts and eating cookies." And Miss Butterworth says, "Well, don't get the crumbs on the gravestones, or there will be rats, and I will report you to the Reverend Bruton, who is the pastor and also the dad of Elsie Mahood, who got Alexander Pringles stuck in the railings." And me and Cosmo agree that Miss Buttersworth is definitely strange and possibly beast-like, but she is not a vampire, I say. It's disappointing, and maybe we should photograph somewhere else. The town hall. Okay. The town hall, which has a creaky door and some bats on the wall, on the porch, and Cosmo agrees, so we are about to go completely quickly to the town hall when someone comes out of the church, and it's a man who's tall and in a blue shirt, and Cosmo does a gasp and says, "It is Dracula, King of the Vampires." And I say, "It is not. It is Mr. Bentley Bucket, who is Aunt Dee Dee's new boyfriend, and who Gran says will not last. It is the same as Nanny's. That they all get fired for not measuring up, except Lilia, Bob Yovet, Lev, who has been fired twice, but Mom got her unfired because it was mostly my fault and he is not an evil beast. He is a saint for putting up with Aunt Dee Dee, according to Mom. Plus, vampires do not wear blue shirts. They wear long cloaks with red shiny lining." But Cosmo says that was a blue suit with mortal disguise, because Cosmo was very, very, very into mortal disguise. Oh no. Very into mortal disguise. Mortal disguise because Cosmo is very into mortal disguise, and that underneath he definitely has a long cloak with a shiny red line, with a red shiny lining, and we have to follow him and find his lair, which is probably under a tombstone, which is where he goes to sleep. Only I say I can't, because I have to go home, Daisy. Because Daisy, who is my sister, and who is very irritating, is being doubly irritating because she has decided she wants to be a celebrity chef when she grows up, and so she is cooking macaroni and cheese for dinner. And Cosmo says, In that case, can he come, because he is a very big macaroni and cheese fan, because his mom, who is called Sunflower, even though her real name is Barbara, does not believe in eating creatures because it is oppressive. She believes in cheese and nuts and squishy things made of lentils and lentils. So I say, yes, and off we go. And on the way, Cosmo is saying, Fortunas is it is for Georgia Mae Morton Jones, who is my cousin and who goes to the Jabil Academy for Girls, because if Aunt Dee Dee marries Bentley Bucket, then she will have a new dad who is a vampire. And he wishes Sunflower would marry a vampire or maybe even Minimus Mayhem. Only she doesn't believe in weddings because they are oppressive. And I'm thinking it would be really good if my dad was a vampire instead of something to do with safety bullards. Because then he could fly and hang upside down in trees, and Bridget Grimms would be in mortal fear of me instead of saying, I would not do that if I were you. When I notice a strange thing, is that Mr. Bentley Bucket is not climbing under a tombstone to go to sleep or wandering off to Aunt Dee Dee's house to play chess with Georgia Mae Morton Jones. He is completely following me and Cosmo down the road. He follows us past the dead pigeon behind the general stone, and he follows us across the crosswalk with a marshmallow stuck on top of the sign from when Brady O'Grady and Cosmo had a marshmallow throwing competition. Only Cosmo's hit Mr. Buttersworth, and she is never selling him marshmallows. Cosmo hit Miss Buttersworth, and she's never selling him marshmallows again, not even when he is 9. And he is still following us when we walk up Rollins Road and down the sidewalk and to door number 73, which is our house. And I am banging on the door, and Cosmo is shouting, quick, quick, he is going to devour us any minute. Janet, open the door and call the police. And mom opens the door and does not say, oh my heavens, a vampire. And she does not call the police. She says, how many times, Cosmo? Stop calling me Janet. It is Miss Jones, and I suppose you are staying for dinner too. Well, you had better scot and wash. Well, you better scoot and wash your hands because Aunt Dee Dee is here. We are all meeting Mr. Bentley Bucket. Oh, heavens, here he is. Please, come in. And he does. And then Cosmo and me are completely discombobulated and also flabbergasted because there's a vampire in the dining room about to eat macaroni and cheese and also possibly us. But no one else is even one bit suspicious. Cosmo says it is because he has the under his spell. And we need to reveal the true nature. And also the red cloak under this mortal disguise. Which is when I have my next brilliant idea. Which is to reveal his true nature at dinner. But by giving him the garlic and some water. Because Cosmo says vampires do not like garlic. And water makes them evaporate into smoke. And so does being stabbed in the heart with wooden stakes. Only we had dropped the chopstick down a drain trying to poke a worm, so it is just garlic and water. Only when we get to the table, there isn't any water. There are strawberry smoothies, which are not normally allowed because of time, I put hormones in them and made Daisy's boyfriend, Joshua Bottomley, sick. Even though Daisy is not in love with him anymore, she is in love with George Helmet, who has the longest legs in sixth grade. But Dad says today's in sixth grade. But Dad says today's a special treat because Aunt Dee Dee is here, even though I can tell Mom does not think it is a special treat. Because normally Aunt Dee Dee is mostly saying things like, well, if you buy cheap dishwashing detergent, then what do you expect? Only today, Aunt Dee Dee was something completely brilliant and also fortuitous. Fortuitous, which is that strawberry smoothie, are not a special treat when they are allergic to strawberries. Which Georgia May Morton Jones might be, and so she cannot have any, only water. And I say, Aunt Dee Dee is right, and maybe we should all have water in case we even breathe on Georgia May Morton Jones. And she perishes into her macaroni. And Cosmo says, yes, good idea. Though strawberry smoothies are his second favorite drink. After milk with mint syrup in it, which is, he says, looks like alien ectoplasm. But Daisy says looks like grossness. And so Mom takes the strawberry smoothies, even though I can tell she is not happy about it, and nor is Dad, who says he has been looking forward to it all day, while Tony Juniper has been dorning on about bus stops. And nor is Daisy, who says it is against her human rights because she is very big on human rights, as well as on being a celebrity chef. And it turns out, nor is Mr. Bentley Bucket, because when Mom gives him a glass of water, he does not drink any of it, not even a drop. And so I say, you should have a drink, Mr. Bentley Bucket, or you will perish of thirst unless you are a camel, because they can go for weeks without water. I'm fine, thank you, Penelope. I'm not a big water drinker, only Mr. Bentley Bucket says. And I gasp, and so does Cosmo, and he writes it down in his notebook because it is strange. And Mom says, what is with all the gasping and writing? And I say, it is for school, which is not even a lie. And Mom says, well now, it is not time for writing, but it is time for getting the Parmesan from the kitchen. And can I please get it and try to stay out of trouble? And so I am getting the Parmesan and not even going near trouble, which I think is probably the washing machine because it is broken from the time we dyed Daisy's swan outfit blue. When I have my next brilliant idea, I put garlic salt in the Parmesan cheese. Because they are both yellow and powdery, and so it will be invisible and no one will be any wiser except Mr. Bentley Bucket. And it will not matter because people have evaporated in smoke. And so I mix in the garlic salt and cheese invisibly, and I put a lot so that he will evaporate completely. And I take it and say, "Would you like some Parmesan, or are you not a big Parmesan eater?" And he says, "Actually, I am a fan of Parmesan." And he puts a whole spoonful in his bowl. And I gasp, and so does Cosmo, because I whispered to him about the invisible garlic in the Parmesan, which Daisy says is rude. But Cosmo says it is his human right, and Mom says, "Oh, for heaven's sake, let's just eat." And so everyone does, except me and Cosmo, because we are waiting for the evaporation. And something strange happens. Not an evaporation. It is that Mr. Bentley starts coughing like crazy, and so does Aunt Edie, and so does Barry, even though Mom told Gran macaroni and cheese is for cats. And Gran gasps and says, "It is poison cheese. I saw it on Animal SOS, which is a program where animals almost die, but then they don't, and it is miraculous." But I say, do not fear, it is not poisonous for mortals, only for vampires, because I've secretly put invisible garlic in the Parmesan, and any minute now, Mr. Bentley Bucket will evaporate before your very eyes. Ta-da! And then everyone gasps, only he does not evaporate, and I'm racking my brain. Wonder why, and so is Cosmo. And he says, maybe it is like Minimus Mayhem, and he is super powerful, so it has to be garlic and water, and I agree. And I throw a whole glass of water on his head, and so does Cosmo. Only Mr. Bentley Bucket still does not evaporate, but there is a lot more gasping and then a lot of shouting, and it is mostly at me because Aunt Didi is upset that Bentley Bucket is wet, and Mom is upset that the floor is wet, and Daisy is upset that the macaroni and cheese is wet and also covered in garlic. "It is all your fault, Penelope Jones. You are such a complete moron." And Aunt Didi says, "I am a nickapoop and a mensense because Mr. Bentley Bucket is not a vampire. He is a bank manager." And Mom says, "I am a nickapoop and a mensense and nuts because vampires aren't even real. They are completely made up like aromatherapy and miracle diets." And Dad calls me Penny Dreadful and does the honking goose laugh. But I do not see the funny side, and nor does Mom, and nor does Aunt Didi. But someone does, and that is Mr. Bentley Bucket, because the next day he sends me a letter saying that being mistaken for a vampire is the funniest thing that has ever happened to him, and here's a dollar coin, a book about foxes. "Dear Penny, being mistaken for a vampire is the funniest thing that ever happened to me. Foxes, all about them, and a dollar coin." And I decide, maybe being a clown isn't so bad after all. But Cosmo is still being a vampire hunter because one of the bats on the church porch has pooped on his head, so it is definitely an evil beast, and possibly a vampire. The end. I'm going to stop right here for now, and later we're going to read Penny Dreadful Looks on the Bright Side.